Hello everyone, I'm Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase, and I was hoping to have an awesome show for you on Monsterpocalypse, but a few things went wrong. First, Kyle came to one of our gaming sessions sick, and well, I got sick because of that. Afterwards, I had to finish my term project for my master's class, so that took a lot of time. So following in the tradition of the great TV networks like Discovery Channel and History Channel, I'm repackaging content. Though unlike those said networks, all this content is entirely new. In fact, it's the entire second series of Green Gaming. So, sit back and enjoy this collection of mini projects. Hello everyone, I'm Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase, and Green Gaming is a show that takes the environmental approach to miniature wargaming. If you've never seen this show before, the idea is we take trash and some other natural items and try to build cool things for your miniature wargaming table. Now in front of me here are the five projects we're going to build this year. We've got a gun emplacement with a fully moving turret. We have a destroyed wall segment, it's kind of burn and charred for you guys to hide behind. We have a crashed cargo ship, which looks like, you know, a bunch of wreckage, a lot of broken stuff up, burn, that kind of thing. We have a pumping station, for obviously pumping water out, or some kind of water filtration system, maybe. We also have a power generation station. Now, this time around, I added one extra rule. I couldn't use any products which basically produce kind of nasty toxic fumes, like spray paints and certain types of glues. Now, the gluing wasn't a big deal, but when it came time to painting, I couldn't rely on my normal spray primer I would often use. So what I ended up doing was buying a bottle of this stuff. It's called gesso. It's a special type of paint that pretty much sticks at just about any surface. Whether it be very porous, like the extruded polystyrene I got behind me here, or whether it be a hard plastic surface like a lot of these things are built out of. It's kind of expensive, but you can get it from just about any arts and crafts store. So keep an eye out for those 40% off coupons and things like Michael's and Joann Fabrics like to do, and go ahead and pick up a bottle of this stuff. So what you want to do is when it comes painting time, put a layer or two of this gesso on there, and you should be able to go ahead and paint the thing up as normal. Now you can also mix this gesso with normal paints, and actually does get a little bit of benefit of both, where you can go ahead and start applying a base coat while, you know, kind of toning down the black color, maybe giving it kind of a gray color going. So with that little tip out of the way, let's get started with Series 2 of Green Gaming. Welcome to Green Gaming. I'm Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase and host of the Tabletop Battlefield podcast over at www.tabletopbattlefield.com. And if you've never seen this show before, the goal is to take trash you would probably just throw away and, well, make something cool for your miniature war game battlefield. What we're going to do today is we're actually going to build some low walls. Now, I've done something similar to this back, I think it was episode 3 of this year, so episode 3, season 3 of the Tabletop Battlefield podcast. But do a little bit different, to kind of expand on a little bit, make the whole project a little bit larger. So what you're going to require, I've got an empty cereal box here. I chose a large one just because basically the size of the cereal box is going to determine the size of the wall. We've got a hot glue sitting over here, hot glue gun. We've got empty plastic sprues, you know, the little plastic things that come with basically every GW figure. And you got to punch them all out and assemble everything together. And for this case, I'm building this wall to scale for Warhammer 40,000, but the same technique can be applied to just about any game of any scale. So let's get started here. Now, the base of the wall is going to run along the length of the cereal box. So you want to go ahead and cut out one of the large sizes or large sides of the cereal box. Okay. Now, to determine the height of the wall, take the figure you want to be guarding the wall. In this case, you got one of my Tau Empire Fire Warriors. Set them down at the base of the wall, and then using a marker or a pen of some sort, trace the height of the wall along the length of the box. Now, what you're going to want to do is make some parts of the wall higher than the figure and some parts of the wall lower than the figure. So you're going to have areas where they kind of have full cover and areas where they're standing out with the guns firing at people. Let me hold up my finished section here. You can see I just traced it out and all kind of jaggedy. Because obviously we're making a ruin wall, or depending if you want to make a ruin wall or not. If you do, make it kind of jagged so it looks like I blasted the bits. Now go ahead and cut this thing out as best you can. There we go. Let's try this side. You can see now I've got the whole side of the wall finished. Now it's time to build the second side of the wall. What you want to do is go to the other side of the box. Well, not the other side, but you know, like, you cut out the wall from the top one, the right side of the box, essentially, and now you're going to the left side, I guess you can say, and trace the wall exactly as it appears, because you want to get the other side of the wall to be nearly the same shape. Not, it doesn't have to be exactly the same shape, but you want it to be nearly the same shape. There you go, about the same shape. Let's go ahead and cut this one out now. Now to hold these up together, they're nearly identical, not perfect, but they're pretty good, good enough for this project anyway. Now, I don't want a simple straight wall. I want to actually bend it a few points. So let's hold these two halves together, and we're going to actually fold it and say, in this case, we'll fold it at two different points. So let's go ahead and fold it once here. It's kind of arbitrary where I'm choosing. I'm just kind of doing what looks cool. So we'll fold it once there, and we'll fold in the opposite direction a little further down here. Now, if I go ahead and I hold this thing up to the camera, you can see it's got some bends to it, so it looks kind of a crooked S kind of shape. That'll give let it sit down. Now, I want to go ahead and make the base, what's going to end up becoming the base. So what you want to do, remove the two, or separate the two pieces. This is where the plastic sprue is going to come in. Get on some safety goggles, and you're going to cut about little piece of the plastic sprue is about 2 or 3 inches long. So you're going to run one along each section of the wall which is bent. So I got three sections of the wall. We're going to run one plastic sprue here, one here, and one over here. Now using hot glue, go ahead and glue these sprues along the base of the wall. Also, be careful not to glue the wall to your table. That's not something you want to do either. Now, if you've done things right, you should have something that looks kind of like this, where you can see you got a little piece of plastic sprue there, one along this section, and one more along this section. Now, while this section is drying, you go ahead and you put it off the side. We're going to go ahead and create the effect of steel rebar or steel beams that were in the wall. And we're going to do that again with the plastic sprues. So now cut several more pieces of plastic sprue. You want them to be maybe about 1 inch to maybe 2 inches taller than the section of the wall they're going to be attached to. And you want to make them variable length to kind of give the effect that the whole wall was blasted apart, so there's little bits of steel still sticking out. Let me gather these up here. Hold them over the camera. You can see now I've got a bunch of little pieces of the plastic sprue ready to be attached to the wall, kind of give the effect of rebar and things like that. Now glue these pieces of the sprue down vertically to the wall and spread them out about equally along the length. Let me hold this thing up here, and now you can see you've got a bunch of little pieces of these plastic sprues sticking above the wall. Look from the front side of the wall. It kind of looks like you got a nice jagged wall with a few little rebar things sticking out of it. Now we got to attach the two halves of the wall together. So go ahead, take the other half, line up the way it should be. It should be like that. That works. Now go ahead and apply some glue to the inside of all the plastic sprues, and then stick the other half of the wall on. That's looking decently well at the moment. You can see there now I've got both sides of the wall attached, the little bits of steel rebar sticking out, and there we go. Now the last thing we're going to do is create a base for the wall and add some debris around it. Taking the other sheet, or the, what's left of the side of the trailer box, place the wall down on it, and now using a pen, trace out a base for the wall, make it about a half inch to an inch stick out from either side of the wall. And you can kind of obviously make the base adapt to the way the wall bends and curves. And go ahead and cut it out. We'll go ahead and glue this thing down. There we go. Got the shape of the base. Take your wall, flip it over, apply some hot glue to the sprues that are on the bottom, and then stick it down in the base. Now while that's drying, here's the beauty of actually building destroyed stuff. If parts of the base don't stick down right, or the wall is bent, or something doesn't look quite right, hey, it took a frickin' tank shell to the wall. It's not gonna be standing straight. That's the beauty of building these destroyed things. They can look crappy and still make sense and look good in the context of how they're supposed to be. So that's why here, the wall's leaning a little bit. It's not quite stuck down. Don't worry, it's a blowing up wall. The last thing we're gonna do is add some debris to the base to make it look like there's little bits of chunks laying around. Now what you're gonna do, get your safety eyelets back on, and so for the final construction step, go ahead, cut some more pieces of sprue out, but this time cut them really small to where they're maybe at most 3/8 of an inch long. They don't have to be nice and neat. I mean, chances are if you've been trimming the sprues down as you've cut the earlier ones, you've probably got a pile of it already going. Just go ahead, cut some more out, and then we'll glue them down to the base as battle debris. There you go. There's one side of the wall. There's the other side. You can see the white glue holding the little bits down. With that, the construction is done. Of course, the last step is go ahead and paint this wall up. I mean, I would probably paint this a gray cinder block and put some little black paint along the top and make it look like the whole thing's been ruined and destroyed. But you want to paint to match your cityscape, however that may be. So with that, let's call this episode of Green Gaming done. Once again, I'm Jason. Thanks for watching. For more information on the world of miniature wargaming, or to submit your own content and show off the projects you've created, check out the Army Showcase and Tabletop Battlefield podcast over at www.tabletopbattlefield.com. Have a good day, and I'll see you on the next episode of Green Gaming. Welcome to Green Gaming. I'm Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase and host of the Tabletop Battlefield over at www.tabletopbattlefield.com. And of course, if you've never seen the show, the goal of Green Gaming is to take trash you normally throw away, like this kind of stuff here, and find a way to make something cool for your miniature wargaming battlefield with it. Today, one of the projects we're going to work on is actually a very simple one. The idea is to show you how quickly you can take product packaging and make them look like cool sci-fi buildings. This time we're building a water pumping slash purification station, and the reality is it can be applied to just about any scale of game. This project requires the plastic packaging from a 3-pack of compact fluorescent bulbs. Of course, we add some more empty food packaging, just a nice large size of a box of cereal. And we've got a little empty spice container. We're also going to need a little bit more plastic sprues, the little things that obviously come with every single plastic figure you purchase that you got to punch out and assemble. Now, step one is we're take the packaging. Chances are this is one half of the packaging. So chances are what you got actually kind of splits in half in a V shape. So we go open like that. Cut it apart, separate one half of the package, and we're going to use that to actually create the generators or the pumping station, whatever you're kind of creating here. Because this is my opinion. The way the compact fluorescent bulbs sit in their package, it actually kind of looks like power generators, or something that are kind of large turbine devices, such as pumps or generators. Let's start here by going ahead and cutting off any of the extra plastic that's on the packaging, like this end piece here, just toss off the side. You want to keep all three together just to make things simple. Let's just pick which either side you want the things to sit on, and then using some hot glue, go ahead and glue it down. There we go. Just hold it up, and you can see it's all nice and neatly glued down now. Now, the next thing we're going to add is this spice container here. And the idea of adding this spice container, this is a water pumping station. The idea is maybe they have a tower where essentially it maintains the water pressure in the system, or helps to maintain the water pressure. That's what the empty spice container is for, so make sure all the spice that's going to come out is out. You can probably remove the label unless you just want to paint over it. It's your call. Decide where you want to place it. I'm going to actually place it next to the middle water pump. And the idea is they're actually going to have two pipes coming out of either of the other two outside water pumps. So just take some hot glue, run it along the rim. Just like that, and glue it down. Now you've got your water tower for the station. And the last thing you're going to do is take the plastic sprues, and I've already done this because I just wanted to be prepared, and cut out two L shapes. You can see here, I've got two L-shaped bits of plastic sprues ready to go. Pull it. There we go. And these are going to become the pipes that basically pump the water from the lake or the body of water into the pumps. Let's trim them down just a bit. So obviously the long end is going to run into the pump. The small end is going to go into the ground. So trim them so that they're at an appropriate length to where they, you know, they run into both the ground and the water pumps. Just kind of fit them in place. That one looks pretty good. This one over here, that one also seems to look pretty good. Just take some more hot glue, glue them down to the ground and to the water pumps. And well, that's just about all the structure for this project. It's really simple. The idea was just look for packages that kind of look like cool sci-fi buildings, slap them down, see if you can make anything out of it. Now, when it comes to painting and flocking this board, the things you want to pay attention to is mainly where the water is going to be. Obviously, the water's got to be here, where the pipes go into the water. But what you're going to do is only have the water actually touch one edge of the board. That way, you can pretty much put this terrain piece along any side of the battlefield and still kind of make it fit. So let's put a mark here and a mark over here, and that's going to mark the boundaries of the lake. Let's just gently sketch it out so I have an idea just how big this lake is going to be. Looking pretty good right there. Let me hold it up, and then you can see the trace out a little bit better. There you go. See the black line I drew for the lake, and obviously the water only touches one edge of my board, allowing me to kind of slap this thing down on any battlefield edge and make it kind of an objective point. Well, let's just paint this thing up. Put some flocking, put some water effects in here, maybe this blue paint, maybe you could try out some of those water kits I reviewed in the show. But, and then one last thing to note, if any part of the generators, like the plastic, is actually like sticking up per se, you know, where over, say over here, let's see if over here on this side of the plastic doesn't actually touch the board, just keep, you can go ahead and hide that using either little bits of bushes or rocks or something like that to kind of conceal that little hole up, and it really won't be a big problem. So, with that, let's call this project construction-wise done. Like I said, paint it up, and you should be good to go. Once again, I'm Jason. Thanks for watching Green Gaming. For more information on the world of miniature wargaming, or to submit your own content and show off the projects you build, check out the Army Showcase and Tabletop Battlefield podcast over at www.tabletopbattlefield.com. Have a good night, and we'll see you in the next episode of Green Gaming. Welcome to Green Gaming. I'm Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase and host of the Tabletop Battlefield podcast over at www.tabletopbattlefield.com. And if you've never seen the show before, well, what it's all about is we take trash and other oddball little items here and try to turn them into something cool for your miniature wargaming table. Now, in the very first episode of Green Gaming, I took a dental floss container and turned it into a Tau Empire secret missile battery. I'm going to do something similar to that, but this time around, we're actually going to build a turret that has a full rotating top to it, so you can move the little gun emplacement around wherever you want, face it whatever direction, tilt whatever angle you want. So for this project, you need the dental floss retainer again. That's going to become the turret. You're going to take an empty pudding cup. This is going to become the base of the turret. You're going to need a broken table tennis ball, one that's probably snapped from years of being played with. And you're going to need a pen that doesn't work. I recommend using the Tri-Grip pens. I'm not sure who they're by, but I bought a package of them, and they all just failed on me. They're terrible. So I recommend using the Tri-Grip pens for this project. You're also going to need weights. So in this case here, I've actually went outside, got some rocks and some bits of concrete that I found laying in my front yard. We're going to use that to actually weight some things down. So now step one is to cut a hole in the inner cup of the top of the pudding cup. Well, what I mean, I should explain what I mean here now. Obviously, the top of the pudding cup is going to become the bottom of the base. The bottom of the pudding cup is going to become the top of the base where the emplacement is going to go. So therefore, when I refer to the top of the pudding cup, I'm actually referring to the bottom. Figure that, keep track of that one in your head. So, on the bottom here, you've kind of got this inner circle here that's kind of goes with a little rim around it. Cut this inner circle out. Now, this process is actually more difficult than it looks. These cups are pretty flimsy, and applying pressure to them will cause them to bend and kind of squish down really easily. So be very careful if you're going to use a hobby knife, and you may, once you get the cut starting to go, you may want to consider just trying to use some small scissors so that it doesn't apply so much pressure. There we go. You see here now, we got the hole cut out. Stick your hands right through it, you're good to go. So that's pretty much all you're going to do for the base part of the emplacement. We're going to start working on the turret now. Now take the busted table tennis ball. Now, in order to use it, at least half of it has to be in good shape. I've actually already cut the half off. So, you know, pick a table tennis ball where, you know, there's a maybe one of the seams is cracked or someone got a hole in it. Don't take one that someone stepped on because that's not going to work. Like I said, you need at least half of it to be intact. Now, it needs to be attached to the bottom of the dental floss container. Now, in this case, the bottom of the dental floss container is the side which does not have the hinge for the top. So here's the top. It opens this way, hinges on this side of the dental floss container. So the bottom down here, this is going to be called the bottom. In most cases, it seems to be where the label is at. What you want to do is now attach the table tennis ball as close as you can to the top or to the opening edge of the dental floss container as possible. The reason you want to do this is for balance purposes later on when we start attaching your guns. Using a marker, trace out a circle around the table tennis ball as close as you can get it to the edge. If you ever hold it up, I've got a little circle traced out on this dental floss package. Run a little bit of hot glue around the inside of that circle, not on the circle, on the inside, because if you run it on it, you're actually going to be putting the glue outside where the table tennis ball is. And of course, be careful, don't glue the top of the dental floss container shut. You want to leave it open. Now the other thing you have to do to get the turret ready is actually glue the top of the dental floss container open. So to glue it open, open the lid of the dental floss container and put a little bit of glue at the base of the hinge, or maybe about an eighth of an inch away from the base of the hinge. So you can see there now, you got a little line of glue about an eighth of an inch away from the hinge, and just jam the top all the way open. And you should get something that looks like this from the side. So you got the table tennis ball on the bottom, your hinge is now going to be glued open on the top. Oh, the other thing to be careful of, whoopsie, well don't drop it. So don't glue this plastic thing on the inside here in there either. You need to be able to make that removable, not only for assembly, but for balancing and things like that. As you can see here now, if you go ahead and take your little turret and attach it to the base, you can see now, thanks to the little table tennis ball on the hole, you can kind of bend this thing around and move it around and kind of face it in a variety of different angles. So that's the idea of how you create the movable turret, and also then when the thing is blown up, you can pull the weapons have been blown up. If we're going to get a hold of the section, we're going to start building the weapons. What you're going to do is take your pen and disassemble it. Remove the ink cartridge, you don't want that spilling out anywhere. And just remove any extra little pieces that are sticking around. So all you've really got left is the main tube of the pen. There we go. Now you want to cut it in half. And now to cut this in half, don't use a hobby knife. It's not going to work very well. You want to find yourself a small saw blade. If you have a small saw, that works great. One of the hobby things, a hacksaw would work fine. I'm actually just taking a hacksaw blade and I've wrapped a bunch of tape around one end It's kind of, well, yeah, it's kind of jury-rigged, but it works. And you can see here, I've got a longer barrel and a shorter one. They're going to be the two distinct weapons that the turret's going to carry on it. Want to make sure the barrels are nice and flat in terms of both the exit point and where they attach to the dental floss container. You may want to take a file and kind of smooth them down a little bit. It's kind of optional because you can also patch little holes with little bits of glue and things. But if you want it to look really nice, take a file and kind of flatten things out. Now, using some sort of tool, extract the plastic piece from inside the dental floss container. Of course, this is the piece that normally has the spool where the dental floss goes, and it's also got the little plastic thing, or the little metal thing, sorry, that you, where you cut the dental floss with. And if I show it up here, you've got two kind of extended ends that stick out a little bit further here that we're lock into the dental floss container with. Then you've got a recessed area. Attach your gun barrels to this recessed area, sticking vertically from them. There we go. You can see here now I've glued on the gun barrels on a little plastic piece. Now let's take this whole thing and stick this plastic piece back into the dental floss container. Actually, you know, let's give it a minute to let it dry. Because you don't want to accidentally glue this thing in just quite yet because you're still going to have to add counterbalance. So I'll explain about that in just a minute. Now go ahead and take your base back out and put your turret back on. And what you're going to notice is a lot of times now, you just kind of set the turret up and it immediately falls back down because obviously now the weight of the gun barrels is causing it to always slump down, except when it's, in this case, when it's in its highest position. So we need to add some counterweights in the back of the dental floss container to allow you to balance the whole thing out well. So once again, let's go ahead and let's pop out this little plastic piece. This is where things get a little bit of trial and error going. So I went outside, like I said, and got some rocks and bits of concrete and put a few in at a time. You don't want too many. I'm going to start with, let's do those three big pieces. Well, let's toss the fourth one for kicks. Let's put four of them in there, or, you know, you put some in there so it's not a huge weight change. And then take some hot glue and run some hot glue in there to hold them down. Let's stick it back on the emplacement and see how well it works now. Well, it works pretty good. I can do nice, relatively level. I can do it nice and high. I can do it even kind of low. So, that's in this case, it's probably a pretty good weight. You may have to fit around depending on what you use for your gun barrels. You may have to reweight things a little bit. But, that worked pretty good. That's about it. So, let's call this project done. That's really that simple. It's ready to be used in your battles. Just go ahead, paint it up. And then I guess, well, once you paint up, it's ready to be used in your battles, unless you don't care about painting things up, which, hey, that may be what you're into. I prefer to paint my stuff up. But regardless, once again, I'm Jason. Thanks for watching Green Gaming. For more information on World of Miniature Wargaming or to submit your own content, check out the Army Showcase and Tabletop Battlefield podcast over at www.tabletopbattlefield.com. And, of course, we want to see what creations you create. So go ahead. It's really simple. It takes only 4 minutes to post your first page on the Army Showcase. So with that, have a good night, and we'll see you on the next episode of Green Gaming. Welcome back to Season 2 of Green Gaming. I'm Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase and host of the Tabletop Battlefield podcast over at www.tabletopbattlefield.com. And of course, if you've never seen this show before, our goal is to take trash and turn it into something cool for your miniature wargaming table. Now today, we're going to actually kind of go back what we did a little bit earlier this season, kind of, you know, maybe try some different variations of it per se. Because what I saw online was actually there's a terrain piece you can buy for Signar. It's called the It's basically kind of like this giant generator, lightning research kind of thing. So I'm thinking, well, it's kind of expensive. I bet I could build something that looks kind of cool with just trash. Because remember earlier in the season we used these things here, which is a compact fluorescent bulb plastic packaging. It kind of looked like a generator already. So let's go ahead and take this thing again and do something different with it. So what we're going to be building, like I said, it's going to kind of give an idea of obviously the generator itself, and it's going to be what I call maybe kind of like Tesla coil looking things, sort of. You remember the Tesla coils from Command & Conquer Red Alert, the original series? You know, those kind of, you've always seen in top, those power generators have little like circle things sticking out of them, little rod going through them, if that makes any sense at all. That's what we're going to do. We're going to take this block here, which already looks like a generator, and stick some of those things on it. And hopefully it looks pretty good. So what you're going to need, empty cereal box or food packaging of some sort because you want the cardboard. Of course, the compact fluorescent light bulb case. Once again, this is only half of the case, you know, so I opened it up and cut one half out. We actually got four golf tees here. And what you can do, golf tees not only are really easy to find, but also golfers are kind of picky when it comes to using them. Because obviously they have little nicks in them, or maybe even a small crack, a golfer doesn't want to use them. So try to look for those kind of golf tees. Maybe have a little bit of a crack in them, or some little other defects that, well, the golfer may not want to use them. They're going to work fine for this project. And then I've also got four coins here. We got a quarter, a dime, a nickel, and a penny. Those are going to be used for templates for tracing things out. Set of hobby knives. Tape. And, of course, a hot glue gun. So let's get started. You know what I also need? I need a pen. Or a pencil. That's the pencil on that list here. Let's grab the scissors. Sure, why not add more to it? Scissors. Cut out part of the box. This is going to become the base of the generator. To get an idea of how big the base needs to be, go ahead and place the compact fluorescent light bulb packaging down and kind of trace maybe a somewhat oval area around it. We're not looking for precision, we're just trying to look for basic utility right here. And then go ahead and cut that out. Take the hot glue, put a little bit of hot glue around the edge of the compact fluorescent packaging. That could have been really bad. And then drop it down onto the piece of cardboard you just cut out and glue it down. What you might notice is one side of the compact fluorescent light bulb packaging is not attached to the base because it's kind of a little bit elevated. It's tough to see, but it's kind of right here on this side. Don't worry too much about that. As in times past, you can always hide that with flocking or rocks or some kind of bushes, something to kind of hide that. So don't worry about that too much. Now we're going to go ahead and make the little generator spires. Cut off one of the sides of the cereal box. And using the tape, tape down the four coins to the cereal box. Not too close to each other, but you don't want them too spread apart because you're going to actually end up cutting out some cardboard in the shape of these coins. So what I'm hoping is by taping down the coin and actually using a hobby knife to essentially trace around the coin, you're going to get a much cleaner, much more, perfect circle appearance. So let's see if this works. So I'm just taking the hobby knife now and tracing around the coin, each of the coins. Okay, let me go ahead and hold these things up to my secondary camera here, and you can see it kind of worked. They look pretty good. They're obviously not perfect. But the one trick to doing this is make sure you have a nice sharp blade. If you don't, you're going to have a heck of a time cutting through the cardboard. Now, the other fun part is, let's do this three more times, because you want four of these things. So do this whole process again, three more times. Now, I've just finished up cutting out the four groups sitting over here to the side. You can see I got four groups of four circles each. Now we're going to go ahead and start attaching those to the spire. So pick one of the groups and doing your best of line them up from largest to smallest. I know the dime and the penny can be kind of similar, so do your best. Perhaps it's not a bad idea that when actually cutting them out, that you maybe label them, you know, which one's a penny, which one's a dime, so it's easier to tell at this point. Take a pencil, and as best you can, guesstimate where the center is and put a mark there. There we go. Let me just hold these four up here. And you can see now that I've got the each one here with a little mark in the center. We're going to go and cut that center out because that's what's going to slide over the golf tee. So take your hobby knife and just very carefully kind of cut across a little X in the center, and that's going to, you know, create a little opening where you can slide the golf tee up it. Take one of the golf tees and set it upside down. So the little cup where the golf ball would sit is now sitting on the table, and the obviously part you stick in the ground is sticking up. Now going in order from largest to smallest, slide the little paper ring or cardboard rings down onto the golf tee. And do your best to get them to stop exactly at the level you want them to stop. Just because the way the golf tee is going to deform the ring, you'll find that you can slide it down further, but if you slid it down further and try to slide it back up, the hole is going to be too big and it's going to kind of slide back down. Get them all back into the spot where you want them to be. You can see here, if I hold this up, we've now got them all on there, lined up. And take the hot glue gun and very carefully just apply a small dab of hot glue along the length here of the golf tee at each of the four levels. Let me go ahead and get my four spires lined up over here from my secondary camera so you can kind of take a look at them. But they turned out all right. I mean, they're not the greatest looking things in the world, but for the purposes of this project, they'll work pretty good, at least give you some ideas to go off of. Now, the last step, of course, is to attach these spires to the original generator base station. You can pretty much attach them wherever you want. What I'm probably going to end up doing is put two in the back, kind of 45-degree angles, and then two in the midsection, 45-degree angles. I mean, like I said, maybe you can line them up straight, you can put them off, stick them off to the side, put them off other parts in the base, not attach the generator. It's pretty freeform exactly what you can do. So let me just go ahead and to attach them, what you're going to do is apply a little bit of hot glue to the cup area on the golf tee and then stick it down onto the generator base wherever you want. Well, it's done. It is kind of a weird, funky looking thing. Let me hold it up here. You can see the shape. Got the little generator-looking thing in the base. Little spires coming out of it. You can just go ahead, paint it up, decorate it however you wish. I'm considering maybe taking some pipe cleaners to kind of make them, bending them look like little lightning sparks that are kind of going between there so the electricity is arcing through the air or something cool. But you can really do whatever you want. It's pretty much just go ahead, decorate it, flock it. And you can call this project done. Once again, I'm Jason. Thanks for watching Green Gaming presented by TabletopAtafil.com. For more information on World of Miniature Wargaming or to submit your own content, check out the Army Showcase and Tabletop Battlefield podcast over at www.tabletopbattlefield.com. Have a good night, and I'll see you again on the next episode of Green Gaming. Welcome back to the final episode of this season for Green Gaming. I'm Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase and host of the Tabletop Battlefield podcast over at www.tabletopbattlefield.com. And well, if you missed the rest of the season, what this show is all about is taking trash, like got this, and turning it into something cool for your miniature wargaming table. And what we're going to do for the final episode is do something kind of fun and crazy. We're going to create a spaceship crash. Maybe some kind of transport vessel crashed in the ground. There's debris strewn across it. So you got basically pieces of hull here, and all over the place. And that's why I've got all sorts of different packages across the table. We're going to use all sorts of different types. We've got some food, mostly food packaging, maybe a few other figure packages and things too. And we're going to turn those into what looks to be a wreckage of a spaceship. Now, once again, I like wreckage and destroyed stuff, because you can make things not look quite as nice and neatly modeled, and it still looks good. And that's why we're using this. So, let's start with the main hull of the ship. What I've got here is actually a, what do you call this stuff? It's a giant cardboard spice container. It's actually like a no-salt, salt substitute stuff. So instead of sodium chloride, it's potassium chloride, but that's not relevant to the particular project. All you're going to do, let's take some other food packaging here. Of course, this is a cardboard cereal box I'm cutting out right now. And lay down this piece, kind of trace out an approximate shape around it to create a cardboard base for it. Cut that cardboard base out, and let's glue the thing down. And what you might want to do to kind of symbolize a little bit of wreckage, since this is only a cardboard tube, cut into the cardboard tube and cut a few pieces of it out here and there. You know, that gives the idea that maybe a few chunks of hull blasted off under either re-entry or maybe in space where it's hit by weapons fire, just to give it a little more characteristic to the whole thing. And try to make these pieces look jagged when you do that. And if you want to, keep one or two of the pieces around and lay them down on the base next to the hull. There we go. Things glued down the base. You can see if it tilted up, there's a few little chunks of armor laying there that kind of came off in the crash. Let's set that piece off the side. Now let's jump back and let's create a cockpit. We're going to create a cockpit, take out a yogurt cup, and let's try to do our best to cut this thing just about exactly in half from top to bottom. There you go, and hold this up here. We got two halves now, sticking back together, you got the full cup. You can kind of put one half off the side, unless of course you want to maybe make this a dual cockpit ship. It's your choice, because you're basically just building different chunks after they slam into the ground. Just at the hull section, let's go ahead and trace out a cardboard base for it. Make it obviously a little bit bigger than the yogurt cup itself, just like that, and cut it out. And also, let's cut a few chunks out of the yogurt cup itself so that we can make it look like maybe the entire cockpit area would just suffer a massive decompression and, you know, part of the windscreen's blasted away or windshield. Just give more effect if, you know, totally ruined. There we go. Cut some chunks out of the yogurt cup. Just like before, take your hot glue gun and let's glue this thing down. There we go. Pretty well damaged cockpit section sitting on the ground. Let's set it over here. Make it look like that. Like, cool. So now we got the hull and the cockpit together. Let's make, I don't know what these sections would be. Maybe there are chunks close to the engine. What I'm cutting up here now are these translucent plastic containers that come in basically every war machine box of figures. They're the plastic container that all the little bits of the figures come in. Why don't we take, let's use the small pieces first. Let's say maybe these are parts of the engine, you know, each engine segment that broke off. I don't really know. Just kind of making it up as I go. That's the beauty of this kind of project. Let's just use two of the little ones and just make one engine segment. Because maybe the other piece of the engine, who knows where that thing flew off to when the ship blew up in the atmosphere or however, whatever happened to it. Cut some more of the cardboard apart to give a base for these things. Let's glue them down. Actually, you know what? Let's make them look like they've been blowing up, as the other pieces have. So cut a few chunks out of them. Maybe just cut an entire corner off one. And lay it, maybe bend it and kind of lay it at an awkward angle so it looks like it's a little bit twisted and mangled. And since we said we're going to make these things part of the engine, why don't we also add a little rocket booster onto the end and see how that looks. But we'll do that in just a moment. Let me finish gluing down the other piece. There we go. These things are really flimsy, so I just kind of crunched them together a little bit, and that gives them a very mangled look, which is, looks really nice for what we're trying to go for. And some glue, stick it down like that. So now it looks like the engine hit the ground, snapped in half, and, you know, crazy stuff happened. For the engine booster itself, let's create something that looks, well, like a rocket booster, but nice and wrecked. That's why I'm holding right now an egg carton. We're going to go ahead and cut one of these sections of the egg carton out, that obviously the little cup that holds the egg in. Yes, I'm the kind of looks like the conical rocket booster off, you know, like a shuttles type craft. But of course, this thing hit the ground with a lot of force. Therefore, a large chunk of it is missing. Kaboom. And glue that on the back of the engine. You may want to consider also with this thing, maybe putting some, take some plastic sprues, cut them up like we did in the first project, and sprinkle them around, look like more debris is coming out. I mean, let's face it, I could go on for a while adding stuff for maybe other parts of the wing, maybe a tail section. But hopefully you enjoyed this last episode of Green Gaming. It's kind of a fun little thing to put together at the last minute to see what happens. Probably won't be the last season of the show. I've got a few more ideas I want to try out and maybe take the show a little bit different directions, but right now I don't have time to do that, so we'll call this seven episode season done. Thanks for watching. So for more information on World of Miniature Wargaming or to submit your own content, check out the Army Showcase and Tabletop Battlefield podcast over at www.tabletopbattlefield.com. It's a great site to give your army a little custom home on the internet. Or if you want to show off some projects you made, either post it there or just go ahead and reply to the YouTube video and let's see what you've got. So with that, thanks for watching the season. I'm Jason. Have a good night. And I'll see you hopefully in the next season of Green Gaming on the Recon Report, or go check out the Tabletop Battlefield podcast. See you guys later. Well, that's it for Series 2 of Green Gaming. Thanks for watching. I had an awesome email from a fan who was writing in response to our State of the Gaming Industry show. He's actually from England. He's writing kind of describing some of the business things and how things are going on over there between Games Workshop and some of the third-party competitors. It's kind of a lengthy email, but had a lot of good points to it. So I'm just going to go ahead, hold off, and talk about that one in the discussion until next episode when we do the full Monster Apocalypse thing also. So for that, any questions or comments, send them to me at jason@rockosoftware.com. That's rockosoftware.com. Follow me on Twitter at @TT_Battlefield. Or if you want to play some Left 4 Dead or Dawn of War 2, my Steam username is Rocco Robotics, just like it is in the Army Showcase. So with that, have a good night, and we'll see you again in about 2 weeks on the next episode of the Tabletop Battlefield.
Tabletop Battlefield is copyright 2007-2009 by Jason Rutherford and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License.
The intro music Down With Everything is by The Transfer and is acquired from www.podsafeaudio.com and is used under a Creative Commons License.